Well, as you heard, our pastors are other places, and it comes to the responsibility and, I must say, privilege for your elders to take this time to deliver our message. We've been talking about our stewardship campaign based upon the book, I Am a Church Member. We will continue using this resource for our campaign of Stewardship 2023. Would you please pray with me? Dear Lord, unite us as one body with many gifts, all given to us by your Holy Spirit. Bless these gifts to the service for others. In Jesus' name, amen. So, today's message is a series of six personal messages based upon the six chapters of I Am a Church Member. You will have an opportunity as you leave to accept one of these books to take, to read, to pray over, and your elders and your pastors will provide you opportunities to come and meet to talk about these. So I'm going to begin with chapter one, entitled, I Will Be a Functioning Church Member, with the scripture from 1 Corinthians. As for the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. But now they are many members, yet but one body. Chapter 1 focuses on the responsibilities of church members to be active in using their spiritual gifts to build the body of Christ. Rainier writes, with country club membership, you pay others to do the work for you. With church membership, everyone has a role or a function. That's why some are hands, some are feet, some are ears, some are eyes. We are all different, but we are necessary parts of the whole. Every member is vital to the body of Christ. And when all members are not using their gifts, the body, the church, suffers. The Word of God makes plain that God intended church membership to be about belonging that leads to servanthood, not entitlement. Each of us must see ourselves as a fully functioning member of Fountain Hills Presbyterian Church. One cannot be a biblical member of the church without giving abundantly and serving without hesitation. Membership in Fountain Hills Presbyterian Church is important in the life of its members and necessary for us to consider what it means to be a functioning church member. We will need to understand that as we go through our transition time. The helpful question that a church member can ask themselves is, how can I best serve my church? Chapter 2 will be presented by Elder Terry Schmidt. And you can use my... You're going to stay there? Or?
I'm going to stay here. Greetings. For those of you who don't know, I'm Terry Schmidt, Elder of Missions. I'm speaking on the chapter Unified as One, or the Unification of the Church. I'm going to read a scripture first. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 1 through 7. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one for another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Unified means one in the Spirit. God calls for us to be unified. One in the Spirit, as we are in the church, have this responsibility. It is critical for every member of this church to help fulfill this mission. Our mission is to reach the lost world. Picture this, if you will. I have to use my hands. You have one finger. All it can do is point, accuse. You add the other four, and you have a fist. And you're showing your strength. That's what we as a church need to do, show our strength. All right. We need to be unified church force, one that can stand up to the powers of darkness and evil. We need to be unified so we can stand together as an example of what the Lord wants us to be. Unity is vital to the health of a successful church. Every church member has the responsibility to keep and maintain this unity. We must see ourselves as fully functioning members of the body of Christ. This is done by being an involved member of the church. As I think back in my many years, the three churches that I loved going to the most were the three churches I was involved with. I either taught Sunday school, I went to Bible studies, or I was in the choir. I was involved. And as you know, I am now in the governing part of our church as an elder. You yourself can be involved in many different things. We have many clubs, which we will have the kickoff for, and you can join, or just being available for those who need you. You gladly work for the good of God and our church. Love creates unity. That is why God commands us to love one another. Next, now that doesn't mean that we will always agree with each other. We all have our own opinions on everything, so that doesn't always happen. But we need to be able to respect each other's viewpoint. Unity also generates forgiveness. Forgiveness is a central component of living in harmony and love with each other. For if God can forgive us our sins and accept us into heaven, can we not forgive each other here on earth? When we hold grudges or gossip or slander and don't forgive each other, our church fails. Then the church falls apart. I have seen this happen personally in more than one church. We, as members of the church, need to stay unified. To do this, we need to support each other, work together for the good of the church, as well as for the good of God. Please join me in making this happen with our church today and to help it keep strong and healthy. Think what you can do to help the unity and help our church grow and be healthy. Remember, God calls us to be unified in our love for Him as well as for others. Thank you very much.
I will be commenting on chapter 3 entitled, I Will Not Let My Church Be About My Preferences and Desires. This chapter gets pretty personal. I read from Philippians 2, verses 3 through 8. Do nothing out of self-ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. In relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. The author asserts that congregations across America are weak because many of us church members have lost the biblical understanding of what it means to be part of the body of Christ. The truth of the matter, every member is vital to the body of Christ, and unity is critical to the biblical functioning of the church in order to fulfill its mission of reaching a lost world. This morning, I want us to take an eye test. Not E-Y-E, but the capital letter I. You see, eye troubles have plagued many churches for years, keeping them from experiencing the fullest blessings of God and affecting a lost world spiritually. This eye trouble occurs within all churches. Listen closely to the questions which will help us determine if we have an eye problem in our church. If you have ever heard said, I know that the Bible says this, but you might have an eye trouble. If you have ever heard said, excuse me, but I usually sit there, you might again have eye trouble. If you have ever heard said, I did not get anything out of that sermon, you might have eye trouble. If you have ever said or heard said, I wish they would sing more songs that I like, you might have eye trouble. If you have ever heard said, I hope this isn't another long service, you might have eye trouble. The author emphasizes the strange thing about church membership is that we actually give up our preferences when we join church. Don't get me wrong, there may be much about our church that you like a lot, but we are here to meet the needs of others. We are here to serve others. We are here to give. We are here to sacrifice. One thing we need to recognize about church membership is that it is not about us, our preferences and desires, but about keeping the unity and fulfilling the will of God. The Bible teaches that the mind of the believer is about serving others and not being served. To paraphrase a popular quote, ask not what your church can do for you, ask what you can do for the church.
My name is Eileen Berg, and I'm your elder for for worship and music. I'm here to ask you to pray for our pastors and all of our church leaders. The role and goal of church leadership is to mold us into a biblically functioning, unifying, serving, praying congregation to work together to accomplish the goal of furthering the gospel of Christ. That work requires prayer protection. We must pray for our pastors, Bill Good and Bob Simmons. They face the same everyday struggles with finances, health issues, and worry about family members as we all do. We need to pray for their protection from the stress and pressure they experience every day and how to respond to the demands put upon them. We must pray for their discernment and wisdom as they make dozens of decisions every day concerning the success of their ministry. What an incredible task it must be to prepare an inspiring, relevant, easy to understand, and well-delivered sermon every week. We need to pray for our pastors' families. Few families face the expectation as the families of pastors. A pastor's family often sacrifices the presence of a husband and a father at important events because of the demands of the church. Pastors worry about folks' expectations of their families. Let's pray for our pastors' families. I am appealing to you to pray for all church leaders, the session elders, the deacons, leaders in women's ministry, men's fellowship, for our church officers and trustees, and those involved in outreach and fundraising. Personally, because it's so familiar and inclusive, I use the prayer our Lord taught us when praying for my church leaders, asking God to feed them, forgive them, lead them, and deliver them. Feed them that they would have robust physical and mental health and strength and endurance to meet the duties assigned to them. Forgive them, for leaders too fall short of the glory of God. They have strengths and weaknesses, and we must pray for our leaders to have empathy and integrity and to see the best in their sisters and brothers in Christ. C.L. Lewis writes, "To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you." Lead them away from the enemies of their minds, bodies, and souls who seek to corrupt and destroy. Deliver them from Satan's power, the snares and temptations surrounding them. Will you pray every day for our pastors and their families and all the leaders in the church? Will you? Amen.
I am Maria Berry, the finance chair, and with Joyce Leo, we also manage Hilltop Hospitality. I am addressing the fifth chapter in this book. I am a church member, and every chapter has a pledge. And the fifth pledge is, I will lead my family to be a healthy church member. We will pray and serve together as a family. In other words, our family is our first mission field. I'm now reading from Ephesians 5, 22, 25. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Symbolically, the church is the bride. Husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. And Paul addresses here the unconditional love within the immediate family. That unconditional love should transcend to the church family. I read somewhere that the greatest gift parents can give their children is a relationship with God. That means we take our children and grandchildren to church. We observe the Sabbath or Sunday. Our children and grandchildren should see a good example in our marriage, not only in personal relationships, but in church relationships too. We spend time praying with our family, teaching our family the gospel message. In other words, the Great Commission starts at home. A church is not a country club. We are part of a church, and for me, Fountain Hills Presbyterian Church is my family. I am to serve and care for others. As church members, our perspective should always be on giving, not on receiving. After all that we are and have is a gift from God to us in the first place. Tom Reiner states in his book, before we moan and complain about losing the right to pray in our schools and in public, we better wake up and realize the reason why we have lost prayer in school and the public arena is because we lost prayer at home. Most of us here are empty nesters, and we have grandchildren. However, they don't live with us anymore. They're on their own. But we still must be an example to our children and grandchildren, even in our own old age, by showing our love for our church. My children and grandchildren love Fountain Hills Presbyterian. And last Sunday, even one of my sons-in-law came to church with me. It helps that I call my three sons-in-law St. John, St. Ronald, and St. Dwayne. We are to love our church unconditionally as Christ loves us. It is good to remember that nobody is perfect, including us. God has placed us within this church for a reason. We are to love this church as Christ loved us, with an unconditional biblical love called agape. Remember, God created the Sabbath not for sports and work, but as a day of rest and worship. We are a community of faith here at Fountain Hills Presbyterian Church, worshiping God. We are not a country club or a TV program. We need your presence and participation. We need you to come back to our church and become part of the body of Christ for those who are not here. Remember, all you are and have is a gift from God. Christ intended the church to be a place where flawed people, i.e. sinners, learn to love God and others. Prayer and worship brings us nearer to God through Jesus Christ. And remember, we provide fellowship after worship. So I'll see you all in the Fellowship Center.
Good morning. I am Kathy Cole, and I am the Elder of Communications. And it's my honor and privilege to talk to you today about Chapter 6, which is I Will Treasure Church Membership as a Gift. At the end of each chapter, as Maria mentioned, Mr. Rayner asks us to take a pledge. The sixth pledge is, this membership is a gift. When I received the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, I became part of the body of Christ. I soon thereafter identified with a local body and was baptized. And now I am humbled and honored to serve and to love others in our church. I pray that I will never take my membership for granted, but see it as a gift and the opportunity to serve others and to be part of something so much greater than any one person or member. I'd like to tell you what church membership means to me personally. If you read the In Touch this week, this month, my husband Larry had the cover story, and he talked about pretty much the same thing. But this is my own story. I accepted the gift of salvation sitting right over there next to Jim Stewart. I had attended Catholic Church for years, but Pastor Bill's sermons spoke to me personally. And when he and they opened my eyes and my heart to Jesus. When we met with Pastor about joining the church, he explained, as he has so many times over the past couple months, that church membership is far more than sitting in a pew and listening to a sermon. I was asked at the first meeting when we met before we joined to represent FHPC at the Business Expo at the Community Center. Now I'm thinking, what have I gotten myself into? I don't have any time to do that. Well, let's fast forward 5 years, and believe it or not, it's just about exactly 5 years since we joined the church. What I discovered is that the gift of membership is the gift that keeps on giving. Becoming a member of FHPC has given me the gift of camaraderie. So many wonderful friends we've made here. It's the gift of belonging. I love going to fellowship or standing at the sound booth door as you're all leaving and greeting each one of you. Your smiles, your return just warms my heart and gives me that sense of belonging. As a member of the church, I've taken a few opportunities to serve others. As the communications elder, I continually seek ways to grow our church from within and within the community of Fountain Hills. It's important for me for others to know what FHPC is, I do, and to share the gift of membership. And through the Sunday stream, I find joy in sharing the word with those who cannot be here to worship with us. My membership in FHPC is a treasured gift that I relish. It is the gift that continually keeps on giving. It's so much greater than any one person, even greater than myself. I want to thank each of you, my church family, for this precious gift and what you give to me in return. Each of you here and hold this gift in your hands. Accept it, treasure it, and you will find joy in it. Thank you.